عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه سمعت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا مرونة مرون ما فيها إلا ذكر الله وعلاه لو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he has narrated a hadith in Tirmidhi and Bayhaqi. This hadith is in Tirmidhi and Bayhaqi. He stated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we heard a great sahabi as Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu has narrated this hadith, narrated in Bayhaqi and Tirmidhi, that I heard from Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, the dunya is the words, these are the words of the Prophet ﷺ, not, we cannot understand the value of these words and the subject, the depth, that how much it must be important. The Prophet ﷺ always would say the things to inform us, so we are saved from negative things. If something is bad, then we should implement those things that are good and to be saved from the bad. And he is the final authority. He is the one who can decide, because he was told by Allah Ta'ala directly. So nothing is, you could say, doubtful or suspectful, or that we shouldn't believe in it. So the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith that the dunya, the definition you could say of dunya, that what is dunya? Dunya is what we live in. This is dunya. This is the world. This is the definition. The place we are physically living is dunya, the world. Now, how many things are in this world? The world is full of different things, many different types of things that are surround us, the attractions. We can see everything around us. Money, wealth, status and rank, wealth, all the comforts. But the Prophet ﷺ has said to us that everything that is in this dunya is maloon. Maloon means in Urdu, you could say Allah Ta'ala has, you know, cursed something. If something is cursed, or you could say wretched. What is curse? Curse is the thing that is away from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that is away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is cursed, wretched. So whatever is in this dunya, the Prophet ﷺ said, is cursed or wretched. What does that mean? That it keeps you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, distances you, detaches you from Allah. That is the definition of this dunya that we're living in, you could say. The scope of it. The scope of it. We understand what is that meaning. We understand. Only you will understand it when you believe in the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that he is saying these things. And when we've heard that this is being told by the Prophet ﷺ, then the believer lives in the dunya according to that guidance we've been given. So, always then he's saved from this dunya, he's detached from this dunya always. Because dunya means something that will take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rahmah, Allah's mercy will take you away from that. Whatever's in this world, it will take you, it won't let you get close to Allah. Rather, what will it do? It will keep you away from Allah. So this is a big warning for us, how to live in this dunya. But maloon, cursed. Everything that's in the world is maloon, cursed. Whatever it is, it keeps, whatever keeps you away from Allah, distant from Allah, then that is what it is. But we are in this world, so how can we survive?
How can we survive in this nirvikar? We have to do everything, job and things, this living comfort, everything, we have to do these things. How can you see from this to me? This is the main thing. Message is true and everything is right. How can you pass life there then? When we are away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep you away. This is not life then. As soon as you die, you go to Jahannam. You won't be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. What should we do then? Then say in the hadith, إِلَّا سِكْرُ
اللَّهِ
فَمَا لَحُوْتُ فِي. Yes, live in this dunya. But to save yourself from this dunya, this is the one thing you can save you. They want to destroy you this dunya then. And this is zikrullah.
Subhanallah.
You can live in this dunya because Allah sent you there. This is the test for us. The things He created here. Only for test, for the attractions. They do these things, they go to the dunya and leave the things of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like when Allah says, come to the namaz, so and so, so. Who stop us? This dunya. Dunya means the everything which stops you from going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this dunya. Dunya means not only wealth, anything. Anything will be.
Anything that takes us far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dunya. Dunya isn't just money, wealth, children, etc. No, that's not dunya. Dunya, a definition is that whatever or whoever takes you far from Allah, then consider that is dunya. Allah's ordering us, His instruction is coming, He's sending an instruction for something to do, and we're not doing it. So whatever is stopping us not to do that, and we're doing it, Allah is saying to us, stop doing this, and we do it for some reason. Oh, I can't do this because I have to do this action, or for this reason I have an excuse because I have to do this. So I give the preference to those things that are away from what Allah is saying. He prefers them. He brings those excuses or reasons ahead instead of that thing that Allah Ta'ala is saying, that you do this. Allah says that love me. We say we love the dunya Allah, we love the world. How? That those means, the resources, the methods that take us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't accept them. We don't accept those resources or those methods or practices because we want more dunya. So we stop ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Or job or thing like that. Job is not bad. Wife is not bad. Children are not bad. Earning money is not bad. If they are not stopping you to from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they are not stopping you from Allah, but if they are pushing you there, this is a great ne'mat, alhamdulillah.
So if all the things in your life are promoting you and taking you more towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you live like that, properly, and you have no concern for dunya, and in your mind, that you don't think that, oh, I don't have the love for the deen.
There was one great Sufi, Abdul Qadir Jilani, alhamdulillah, alayhi was sitting. A person came to him and said, Hazrat, this ship was coming there full with the things in luggage, and this is downed. He just keep silent and said, Alhamdulillah. Then after a short time he came again, he said, Hazrat, no, I'm wrong, it's not your ship, it was some other body ship, someone else's ship. Your ship's okay, he's coming. Then he go down and thinks and he says, Alhamdulillah.
Allah.
then he says, for his tarbiyat, for his talim, Hazrat, excuse me, why you say that Alhamdulillah on that time, and they say Alhamdulillah on that time? Both things are equal then. I said, your ship's down, and you said Alhamdulillah. I said, your ship's saved. You say, Alhamdulillah. Does it make any effect on you? What do you mean by saying that Alhamdulillah? Paying that praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the reason for that?
So do you understand what I'm saying? This is how we should be. This is how we should be. This is the message for us. That we should live like this. Whether it's a profit or a loss, we are content. That's the life of the mu'min.
This is the life of a mu'min. He was a very rich man. He got the businesses. Abu Hanifa got the business. Many scholars, many people have their business, shops, everything, mashallah. But they live on this style. They have concern with these things on this style. Islam doesn't stop you from anything. He stops you to have love of these things, and you leave the thing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of that. Like Alhamdulillah, this Ramadan. And this is the best time for zikrullah between Maghrib and Isha Asr. He didn't say anything, you stop your job, anything like that. But it's up to you what preference you give to the things. You will die if you just close your shop an hour before in these few days and you get the more in that. Will you die after that? Will you be the poor for that? Never, ever. Then which thing is stopping you? No, might be this. Only one hour, I was thinking in my mind, I'll go to some shops and so standing there. I say, okay, this is 1 hour before you stop it. Calculate. In this 1 hour, how many customers comes to you?
If you stop working 1 hour before your business, we stop driving your taxi, we stop employment 1 hour before, how much will you earn in that hour if you didn't? Think about it. If you calculate, maybe in an hour, a customer doesn't even come sometimes to the business premises. Sometimes all day the customer doesn't come.
You will never find the customer come the whole day. You're waiting for him. If Allah send him, he's come full, 2 hours, full your shop, everything gone. Because I did job, I know about it.
Subhanallah.
Don't know what the customers want. It's in your hand. Really, sometime in the end you're going to close the shop, the start people are coming to you then. Give me this, give me, pay me, these people, they come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows the life style to us. Allah's life shows us the side how to live in this dunya. That's why you go to them, we go, learn these things from the sahaba, from the thing, you know. So then he asked from the sheikhs, Sheikh, why you did this thing? You say, Alhamdulillah, both sides, one time. He said, yeah. So when you said your ships is drowned, you had a big loss of money. Of course, a big loss. Of me, you know, I'm a businessman. But I just think in my heart, does it hurt you? Is hurt your heart to listen to this news that your ships are gone? Alhamdulillah, I didn't feel anything in my heart about it. So that's why he says, Alhamdulillah. Because my heart says, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's gone. So I said, thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my heart didn't hurt this news about at all. And then you say again, after some time, oh, your ship is saved. Then I go to my heart. I see there was a feeling now in my heart, happiness, good. I said, nothing at all. I said, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. So then I say, alhamdulillah again then. So pick this. This message first tell us about it. People lives in dunya only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other objective of the person at all.
That's when a human being is a real human being, when he lives for the sake of Allah in this world and no other objective at all. That's when he becomes a mu'min. Because when everything of his life is for Allah's sake, if there's a loss, who gave the loss? Allah gave the loss. And don't be joyful, oh mashallah, this has come, I've earned this much money.
Don't be joyful, oh this mashallah, doing some wrong things, all very shady things.
Am I right or wrong? Yes, our lifestyle should be like this. If it comes, we'll do wrong things, sinful things, evil actions, and run this and do it wrong. Why? Because money's coming. We'll start running around like, animals. We'll leave the city, leave the masjid, go far away to go. We have no to go and live somewhere where there's no masjid, so far, remote. They left their house, their abode, they're going, far away into a nice area. I want to live near the airport. There's a posh area I want to live in. No masjid, no place of worship, no nothing. That shows that this person is under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand curse? He's under the curse. He cannot be happy, that person. Those people are not happy. This is the message of Allah ta'ala. Who? The Imam al-Anbiya, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us.
If you are Muslim, you have to believe it. These people who are doing like that, they're passing their life. Such a great one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us for only for this reason. And they are under the curse.
They are living their life within the curse of Allah. Them, their children, their family, their shops, their businesses. It's just a few days of enjoyment, so called. But you'll see the end, very bad end to that person who's attracted to dunya. Do you understand what I'm saying?
The Prophet didn't stop the thing, they don't live in this life. Money, yes. Job, yes. But for the sake of Allah, everything. You shouldn't start counting the money. If you lose, don't worry about it. You should be the worry only one thing, how much you are doing for your akhirah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much you're doing? How much do you doing? Does it mean that Allah needs sacrifice? This is a great, 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 great. No tongue, no anything can be said. The thanks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives this month to us. This month, we don't know the value, the moment of this month. Never can be back again then. Never can be back again. What we can do against Christ? Mean everything you can sacrifice to earn the things of. But you want for the sake of shop, for the job, for the thing, just nothing. Count them, money. I say, count them. See what's happened then. What's happened is Allah, yourself, you don't know about it. Because you said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lanat. Lanat kai is. Khushnao. Don't be happy. I'm saying this thing.
Don't be happy. Don't be happy. Don't think you've achieved that you leave. Allah says, Alhaakum wa takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. Kalla sawfa ta'lamuna thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Don't be happy that you left deen for the sake of money and wealth and children and family. This is the sign of destruction. Clear, nothing else. Live with an objective, with a target. Why are we in this dunya? What's our purpose? Yes. Allah has given us some provisions, a job only, to live in our life and to live responsibly according to the necessities of life. So we should fulfill the requirements of life through the wealth Allah has given us. But it's not our objective to earn money. Our objective is to fulfill our necessities and requirements through the wealth that Allah gives to us. And if you get food to eat during the day, and today, obviously, we're in a fast era. If you have a nice car, before there used to be camels, there were donkeys, and now we've got cars, we can travel to the masjid or here and there where we need to go. So the transport medium has changed now, and so we've got cars and planes, transportation, we can use that. So these are the necessities of life, to get around, to eat, so that's why we work, employment. And before, there was no gas bill, electricity bill, nothing. Water was free, gas, everything was free, isn't it? All the resources, put the oil into the candle, and mashallah, and the whole house would have been lit up with a candle. No need for an electricity or heating or bills. This was it, wasn't it, before? I've seen this life as well. Yeah. So then, this is the reason. Allah Ta'ala says, that Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, I've heard the Prophet say that this world is a curse on this dunya. Whatever is in this world, on everything, don't run after the world, order, leadership, money, wealth, houses, assets. Don't run after this. Oh, mashallah. Look, he had just a small shop. Now this big, he's expanded and multiplied. He's got so much. I've seen a person who was standing in the shop, very small shop.
I've seen a person, he was standing in the shop, very little shop. Very little shop was there. And the rats are running on this shop, so dirty shop on that time, you know. He started opening the grocery there. And I am the first, mashallah, customer of this shop. I go all over such a place, you know. Few things he keep there, very small things over there. But he was a nice person, a good person. I like this lad. He's very nice. But gradually I've seen this change into big shops now. They put more things there, going further. And then go now, it's the biggest shop. I have seen this change in my life. So then, when there was the one little shop, he used to go to the mosque.
His shop was near Masjid Rahman. He used to go and pray there. When his shop increased, expanded, the masjid, it was closer to him, and he stopped going there, to the masjid. And I kept saying to him that, look, that used to have a smaller shop, used to go to the masjid, and then he'd cry and say, what can I do? I go, my father, my brother, they stopped me, what can I do? Now he's standing in the shop, he's not going to the masjid for prayer. When he had the biggest shop here now, I think, for grocery, probably now, the biggest one, I won't say the name of the shop. He's got the biggest shop now, business, but compared to the small shop that he started off with, the startup, I've seen the changes in his life after that, when he got more dunya. So now the question does arise. He says, oh, nobody listens. I've never seen him in the masjid now. Very rarely, not even in Jummah. This is what Allah Ta'ala says, Ad-dunya maloon. This is the curse. This is the wretchedness. When a person's hungry and naked and they have no clothes, they run to the masjid. You know when we came? We don't have anything, nothing to our names. We were poor. When there's a poor person, he doesn't have a business, a shop, nothing to work. Then every day you'd remember dhikr and salah. And as a person's money increases, status increases. Yeah. Because I've seen everyone like this. All those people who are sitting here, I know everybody. And now everybody, we forget our past. And when the enjoyment of the dunya increases, we forget the past. Yes, that we don't like dhikr. And they don't like the dhikr. They don't know what is dhikr of Allah at all. Their families, their generations are finished. When they were made from dhikrullah, but their children, their families don't know what is dhikrullah. They were created, they were made from dhikrullah, but the children aren't there. It was fake. They didn't have a desire to do dhikr. It was a fraud. Allah Ta'ala gave them money, dunya, and they ran away from the deen. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Yes, these are those stories that I have seen in my life, I've observed with the people. There was poverty, hunger, no money, that ran towards dhikr. When dunya came to them, they disappeared. Their generation, their offspring don't know what is dhikr. They're not interested. They just have money now, wealth and dunya, luxuries. They laugh and mock at those who do dhikr on the deen. About those people, Allah says, wait, just wait for a while, short while. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is true, whatever he said. This is dunya, that this dunya will end. It's curse on the dunya. These people who run after worldly things, the nights of Ramadan, they leave the days of Ramadan, they leave the dhikr of Ramadan. If a person really wants to make this dunya the hereafter, Allah says, yes, you can do that.
Because? An example I gave of the Qadir Jilani, Rahmatullah, is a big Sufi Sheikh. How he has this thinking thoughts in his mind, in his heart. How this got this love? By zikrullah.
Subhanallah.
They don't have any ibadat. Only if a person change, whatever you bring, Sufi, any Sufi. Any Allah Allah. He changed only with zikr Allah.
Subhanallah.
If he had a good intention, he wants to change his life. How do you change with zikr Allah? Because
Allah Ta'ala has put the impact, the effect in zikr that it changes a person, improves a person if he has the right intention, that he wants to improve himself.
This can change. This can change.
So this is what Allah is saying, is that dhikrullah, subhanallah. Then look further in this hadith.
Zikr will save you from all these things, and all those things which is concerned with the zikrullah.
Now look here, what a great statement this is. In other words, that whatever things take you towards dhikr, they encourage you to do dhikr, they inspire you to do dhikr, they motivate you to do dhikr, that puts you towards dhikr, that brings you to dhikr, takes you to dhikr, even all those things are good as well for you. In other words, everything that's connected to dhikr, what are these things? That take you towards dhikrullah. They give you love for dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. What are these things? Who? First is the Shaykh, the teacher, the awliya Allah, the wali Allah. That's the first step, the source, that through which you will get the love for dhikrullah. Yes, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Those things that invite you to, or attract you to, or bring you towards dhikr, all of the wealth and the money, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is a lanat, curse on all the money and the wealth of the dunya, curse on everything. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whatever there is in dhikrullah, success is in dhikrullah, and those who teach you dhikrullah, bring you towards dhikrullah. So, for example, if a person lives his life with dhikrullah remembrance, it will never be that he's got hunger or destitution or hardship that he won't do ibadah and he won't do dhikr. And then when he gets money, all his children and family run away and leave dhikr. No. It will never happen. A person who's righteous will do that. Never ever. These are those people who have failed in the test if they run away from the deen. Because Allah says, I test you, I make you close to me, I make you close to me, I make you poor. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what were we and what are we now? If you in both conditions the same, hardship and in ease, you're the same, alhamdulillah, you are a very good person. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, alhamdulillah, that he judged himself, that I am saved, the same, in both conditions, both circumstances, and he said, yes, I've got the message, you're the same, no difference at all. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you want to become like this, you want to be a good person, then what should you do? Zikrullah, the remembrance of Allah, with a good intention. And then your children will do dhikr as well, and their children will do dhikr as well. Guarantee to 7 generations, the children will be born who will do dhikrullah. They won't be criminals, they won't shave their beard, they won't live the life without salah. Yet they have money, mashallah, no doubt. That's a test. There'll be lots of money, cars, vehicles, and lots of dunya. And there'll be lots of sources and dunya, everything they'll have. But in their destiny, there won't be no dhikr. There won't be sharia. There won't be sunnah. Sunnah, they won't even have an idea, a clue what is sunnah. But when they're sat in the dhikr of Allah, with their heart, and he gives that sacrifice for the sake of dhikr, that I will leave the dunya. And he will never leave the dhikr of Allah for the sake of worldly things. He won't leave dhikr for the desires. Allah says, until 7 generations, you will have children who will continue to do dhikr, mashallah. They will keep on following the sunnah. So as soon as they're born, I'll put them on the path of the sunnah and the path of dhikr. In this, there are girls and boys, both are the same. Don't think I'm talking about just the boys. No, they're exactly the same. Hazrat Rabia Basri, rahmatullahi, look at Hazrat Fatima to Zahra, look at her. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa, radiallahu anha. Hazrat Hafsa, Hazrat Umm Salma. They're all ladies, great women in the history of Islam. They're all equal. Yes, they are great awliya Allah, mashallah. Within the awliya Allah, women folk, they are awliya Allah. Not just that it's a boy. If I don't have a boy, I won't get a wali. No, even women are walis of Allah. Yes, where does the wali word come? Wali is a person, waliya Allah, born from the womb of the mother. If a woman is a waliya herself, the mother, then she'll give birth to a waliya. If she's a thief herself, then there'll be thieves, there'll be no salah, no mu'min, no Islam. Nothing, because the parents are wrong. They grew up with haram and they lived the life of haram. They didn't do dhikr and they're just running after the wealth. So their children as well will be disbelievers. Some will declare that we're disbelievers. Some will keep hidden that we don't believe this thing. Because the Quran is truth. The Prophet ﷺ is truth. I'm saying all of these things because I'm inspiring you towards dhikrullah. For the sake of Allah in this dunya, establish dhikr in your life and you'll be saved. Yes, yes, very soon, otherwise well done. I want to say this openly, that you should be able to know in this dunya, in the world which is very attractive, so powerful, it can take us away. Deviators, I say openly, let's be thankful to Allah, grateful to Allah, Allah is saving us and we're doing dhikrullah. We should be thankful to Allah. This is the stage of thankfulness. We should be so thankful, so grateful to Allah, that Allah Ta'ala in this dunya, in such worst time, when the people in the world are lost, in the land of the curse, you've given me the ability to do your dhikr, remember you? We should be so grateful. The young person sat here sitting, young people sitting, 32, 30 years old, think for a moment that what are other people that are same age as you, what are they doing right now? How are they living their life? What are they doing at this time? And you're coming to dhikrullah. And other people are same age as you, what are they doing in Ramadan at this time, which is the most important time? What actions are taking place right now? What are people doing? What are they doing, those children, youngsters who are same age as you? That a 30-year-old person sitting, a 32-year-old man sitting here, so much he should be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. This is your mercy that you've sat me down in your dhikr. This is, and don't fool pity on yourself, they're enjoying their life and I'm missing out. They're not enjoying life. They're cursed people, cursed. The Prophet ﷺ said, they are overwhelmed with the curse. Curses have come on them. Don't look towards them. Run away from them, rather. Don't shake hands with them. Yes, don't keep company with them. Those people who adab has come, those places that adab punishment has come, and those places Allah Ta'ala has prohibited us from going there. This is the sign where the adab have come, punishments have come. So we shouldn't meet such people. Meet those people who are like you, who come to dhikr, love those people. Have relationship with those people. Yes. Otherwise, take them out of your gathering. Don't invite them to your homes, etc. Don't call them, don't invite them. Don't take any help from them. Because they are the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are against Allah. So there will be hasab, questioning. Allah says, you kept friendship with my enemies. That my Prophet said about them, people who don't practice deen. So we've been given the sign of the mu'min and that person who is sinful. Those people who live in the dunya. The mu'min is the person who lives in the world, he does dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah, and tries to save himself from the wrong things in this dunya. They are the righteous people. And the sign of those people is that they won't leave anything that takes them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will never leave go towards dunya. If it takes them far from Allah, whatever sacrifice they give, they'll give the sacrifice to get close to Allah. They'll never take dunya in replacement. They're not bothered about that. They don't think it's a loss. They don't accept the loss of akhirah, hereafter, to replace it with the loss of this dunya. No. So how many of us are like this, that we have lived our life like this? We should live our life like this. When the human being goes through true change and goes to a wali Allah, then he becomes like this. All of you have done tawbah, repented, you've come with this niyyah. So judge yourself, that have I become like this? Am I like this? If I haven't, then what a big loss I've taken on my name. That within me I could not look after myself, and I couldn't extract the dunya from inside me. Such children, why were we born? Were we born for this reason, that we don't know the objective of life? Our generation will lose track. So a person does not affect a person. It's not the environment that affects a person, the surroundings. If we follow Allah's method and we stay alive in the correct way, then the environment will not spoil you. Here, Allah Ta'ala has created walis of Allah on this earth, in this hemisphere. How were they created? Did they become pious? And why did the environment not affect them? This 30-year-old man, 32-year-old younger person, boy, why is he sat here in dhikr? Why are you sat here? Who corrected them? Was there any injection that they're sitting here, 30-year-old child? Where's everyone else? So this is the thing to think about. We should think about this, ponder over this. This hadith that we read for this reason. What is the meaning of this? This is the meaning that we have done dhulam on our lives, we've oppressed our lives. When we close our eyes, we'll very quickly realize that were we pious or good or were we not. Salah, fasting, hajj, zakat, Allah doesn't need our ibadat, Quran, dhikrullah, Allah doesn't need this. Allah doesn't want these things. Read Quran and do umrah or hajj and all these ibadat, worship, Allah doesn't want this. Allah wants the result of these actions. What's the outcome of all of this? Yes, if you see somebody is doing all of these actions, don't worry. Don't think about that person, he's a pious person. Yes, that's just, mashallah, what's the output coming from his life? What's the result coming from his life? Say subhanAllah. If you see someone's long beard, amama, tasbih, dhikr, umrah, hajj, don't put the stamp on the person, you sit him sitting in the masjid. He's taking ilm, qari sahab, this sahab, nothing. Look at the output, the result of that person's character. What is that? That's what Allah Ta'ala looks at. Allah says, "The ataun qalbin salim." Don't come here with your salah, your prayer, or your worship. Allah says, put it to one side. You've got nothing. Did you fulfill the rights, all your ibadah, of what I wanted from you? Allah says, show me the result. That if it was correct what you recited and did, then show me the result. What was the result, the consequence of what you did? That what did, when you attained Allah's love from your salah? No, Allah, I had the love of the dunya, what could I do? I was forced to, Allah, I had to work, isn't it, in the world, we had to have to look after the children, bring them up. The children, they never grow up, those people's children, never. Those people who said, I have to bring my children up, I'm doing it for my children, their children never get brought up, never. Allah is the one who brings the children up, Allah. Am I right or wrong, tell me. And from my mouth, the first answer we give, what can I do? I'm forced to, I have to provide for my children, I have to provide for my children. What can I do? Well, I have to provide for my children. They'll never be provided for. So, dhikrullah is a great action. I won't disturb your life, it won't imbalance your life. Is it time now? MashaAllah. Let's do muraqabah quickly. What time is iftar? 45? How many minutes left? 3 minutes left? Okay, let's do muraqabah for 1 minute, inshallah. Then we'll do dhikrullah. 1 minute of dhikr, mashallah, one moment in the company of the awliya, one moment in the company of awliya, 1 second, if you sit with a good intention for 1 minute, you're traveling, don't consider it as a minor thing. It's better than 1,000 years of life where you are spending the time in the company of the good and the awliya. Anyhow, let's do maraqbah for 1 minute.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirrahmanirrahim. As-salatu wassalamu ala sayyidina. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع وتب علينا اللهم إنا لذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما يا الله ما يا أولاد وكم يا أخو وتنك بنا دم يا الله من دين بشرا من مولا يا الله الدنيا خلاص بشرا من مولا وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ورسوله زينة كل شيء وعلى يساره جماعين برحمته. Thank you.